Are you ready?
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do. Say my name.
You're Kid Bry the Minarchist, the host of the Fajita Funtime Radio Show.
You're goddamn right.
Let's make some fajitas today.
And it is I, Kid Bry, the Minarchist, back once again on the Fajita Funtime Radio Show. Broadcasting on this 9th day of September in the year of our Lord 2013. Thanks so much for dropping by once again, back on the air. I'm taking a couple of weeks, not completely off, kind of half shows, so to speak. A little bit of the new, a little bit of the old, a little bit of the best of. But this week back completely brand new. Very pleased tonight to have a very special guest with us. None other than Jesse Walker. Now, Jesse Walker is the books editor at Reason Magazine. And Jesse has written a new book. And as soon as it was released, now let me go ahead and preface it by saying I've liked Jesse's work for a long time. I interviewed Jesse some years ago. We kind of got to know each other. I know that Jesse has a very nice understanding of the world of broadcasting, kind of an expert in the history of that. And along with his libertarian thinking, he's just somebody I kind of connected with. And now that Jesse has his brand new book on conspiracy theories out, I thought it's somebody that we have to get onto the Fajita Funtime Radio Show. The United States of Paranoia, a Conspiracy Theory by Jesse Walker. That's going to be our focus tonight as Jesse joins us coming up in a mere matter of minutes. First of all, I do want to say this is the first time we've been back since we've had our major money bomb. And I cannot say enough thank yous to all of you who contributed so much. When I started asking for some funds to help make this little program go along, I felt awful doing it because I'm just not a beggar. It's just not in me. But at the same time, we can all use a little bit of support sometimes. All of a sudden, I look at my bank account. It's completely empty. Couldn't even fund the bandwidth at the moment. And then suddenly our good friend Mike Maddox sends me a message. Mike, of course, formerly of the Wheels Off Liberty, and he sends me a message. And as I read it, I heard this voice in my head. Hey, man, how about we do a reunion show of the Wheels Off Liberty? Me and Jamie Crane! And I thought for a moment, I thought, you know, Mike, it surprises me just how brilliant you can be sometimes. So as I promised all of you who donated very generously to this program, which is now funded for a full year, so you don't have to ever worry about me begging for money again, we are working on a Wheels Off Liberty reunion. Now, if you remember in the very early days of the Fajita Funtime Radio Show, we were on the Wheels Off Liberty Radio Network, now defunct radio network. All has to do with the bookkeeping of Jamie and Mike, but that's a whole other story. And they kind of reunited, but not really reunited. Well, I'll tell you, this time around, it's going to be a true reunion. You're going to be hearing voices from the past as we have a all-out, blowout, wheels-off Liberty reunion all lined up for you here on the Fajita Funtime Radio Show. When exactly that's going to happen, I do not know. Still ironing out all of the details, but it will be within the next... oh, I'll say year. No, it's going to be well before that. Just getting everything together with Jamie and Mike, and, you know, it's like herding cats. Speaking of cats, don't let those two near them. They'll probably shoot them. Hunting freaks is what they both are, especially Jamie. I don't know about Mike, but I know Jamie is, man. He goes out there, he likes to play whack-a-mole with squirrels. That's what he does. He gets a big club. And instead of, like, taking out a pellet gun, he's like, hey, watch me get this squirrel. And all of a sudden, boom, he just whacks it on the head. And he's cooking up squirrel soup. It's disgusting. Just a sick, sick thing to see. But yes, they will be reuniting right here on the Fajita Funtime Radio Show. I don't know how many of you this past weekend had an opportunity to watch Breaking Bad. I don't know how many of you are following it. But based upon my very non-scientific surveys, it seems like many of you are watching it, if not in the current season, have been catching up on Netflix or other sources, so to speak. So I'm not going to give any spoilers. I accidentally did that on my Facebook page earlier today. I wasn't thinking. I was just so incredibly overwhelmed by the latest episode. Like I said, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I have to say, watching the latest episode of Breaking Bad, I honestly felt physically sick. I felt ill. I could not quite get my mind to work. I was breathing heavy. My brain was all over the place. It was just that intense. It was almost torturous in what the writers of the show did on this last episode. But that's it. That's it. I'm not saying anything else about it. I'm going to leave it at that. Catch it for yourself. Of course, you know that we're big fans of Breaking Bad here at the Fajita Funtime Radio Show. So yes, Jesse Walker is our guest tonight. He's going to be coming up in just a mere matter of minutes here. But I want to give a big shout out first to our old friend John Bush and all the great work he does over at the Liberty Beat. You can find him at the Liberty Beat, thelibertybeat.com. And I'm very proud to say that I have now partnered with John Bush and I'm one of the writers at thelibertybeat.com. And tomorrow morning, by the time you're hearing this show, it'll be September 10th. So on the morning of September 10th, you're going to be seeing an article come out in regards to what happened in New Hampshire. I'm sure many of you have been following the Bearcat misadventures. Concord, New Hampshire City Council voting ultimately in favor of bringing in that militarized vehicle. All because the Free State Project members and the Occupy members could be potential domestic terrorists. So they have to bring in a militarized vehicle so they can come in there and, what, gun them down? So they can run them down in the street so they can shoot them on sight? I know they claim it's going to be used for rescue purposes, and maybe that's true. But any time you allow a domestic force to have a militarized weapon like this, things are going to go wrong. Maybe not today, maybe not next week, maybe not a year from now, but eventually it will be used for tyranny. It will be used for all the wrong reasons. And I just want to say, Concord, New Hampshire City Council, shame on you. Terrible, terrible decision. Ridiculous decision. You are not friends. Well, 11 of you, it was an 11-4 vote. 11 of you are certainly not friends of liberty. Well, a true friend of liberty is Jesse Walker. His new book is out on store shelves now, The United States of Paranoia, A Conspiracy Theory. And we're going to go inside the book and get a little lesson on where conspiracy theories arise from Jesse Walker. That's next on your Fajita Funtime Radio Show. A great new book is hard to find, with today's authors glorifying the state. I have an alternative, and his name is Taran Lupo at lupolit.com. Taran has written over 20 liberty-themed short stories, manuals, and books, ranging from nonfiction, humor, horror, and romance to young adult and children's fiction. Read the words that reflect your views. Read Taran Lupo at lupolit.com. A traveler? Well, check out Taran's free audiobooks, perfect for your lifestyle. Stop supporting authors that support the state. Instead, support lupolit.com.
Hey, this is Bob Murphy, and we are getting crazy on the Fajita Funtime Radio Show.
Are you feeling sluggish, even depressed? Has your sex life gone from active to non-existent? Then let me make this guarantee. George's famous baklava won't help you a bit, but it sure does taste good. George Mandrick is an artist in the kitchen, utilizing the traditions of his heritage to create the finest baklava you've ever tasted. Visit George at Mandrick.com. That's MANDRIK.com to see his full line of baklava, along with low-carb and gluten-free cookies. George's famous baklava won't help you be a better person, but it sure tastes good in your mouth.
Oh, hello. I was just working on a multi-million-dollar lawsuit for one of my clients. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, a lawsuit sounds good, Saul, but who can I sue? Who can you sue? Try police departments, libraries, construction companies, school officials, cleaning services, financial institutions, local and international, your neighbors, your family members, your church, synagogue, or other religious institution, your employer's customers, suppliers, companies in other countries, companies that made the drugs that were turned into the drugs that you took. The possibilities are limitless. Better call Saul.
It's your Fajita Funtime Radio Show on this ninth day of September, year of our Lord, 2013. Rolling on. Failed to mention up front, no fajitas tonight, dear friends. I do not know the last time I have had a good fajita. Been on the run so much. In fact, this is all coming to you from an undisclosed location once again. The old bunker is all but abandoned these days. Have not been hanging out there as much as I would like to. Other duties and other responsibilities in life have taken me in between the bunker into these other locations, so we get the show on the air as well as our surroundings allow us to. But instead of fajitas tonight, I had a wonderfully healthy dinner. Been trying to really maintain just how well I eat. I know so many of you are on the paleo diet, doing all of these things and staying away from GMOs and staying away from all the sickly chemicals in the food. And I'm trying to do the same thing. So tonight, I dined in healthy style on Long John Silver's. That's right. I, Kid Bride the Minarchist, decided that I would do it the right way, do it the healthy way, and have Long John Silver's. Not only did I have three delightful fish planks, actually I had chicken planks, chicken and fish mix. That's the way to do it at LJS. That's what the hip kids call it, the LJS. So not only did I have the delightful fish and chicken planks, I also had six, that's right, six hush puppies. Because when you want to eat healthy, it's hush puppies. That's right. That's what you put in your diet when you want to eat healthy. A lot of people may not believe that, but I'll tell you, that is a fact. It is something that I have come to know. If I want to feel good and I want to look good, I fill myself, stuff myself full of hush puppies. In fact, I'm getting ready to write my own cookbook and my own diet book. It's called Look Fit, Feel Fit with Kid Bry the Minarchist. And there's going to be a photo of myself on the front cover without a shirt. We'll tell you more about that on a future edition of the Fajita Funtime Radio Show. As your little fajita of fun and liberty rolls on this evening, I told you up front that we are going to have a very special guest tonight. And we are very pleased to welcome Jesse Walker. He's the books editor at Reason Magazine. Jesse's someone I followed for a number of years. I always like his insight. I like the perspective that he brings to all things liberty. And Jesse is also probably one of the busiest guys right now in the liberty movement. I think every TV channel I've turned on for the past couple of weeks, there's Jesse's smiling face. And it's all about his book, The United States of Paranoia, A Conspiracy Theory. Jesse Walker, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. I know you and I spoke, what was it, probably 4 or 5 years ago when I was with radio station KAR here in Kansas. And I remember it was a real opportunity. I brought you in, you gave your perspective, and I thought, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. Flash forward a few years later, out comes the book, The United States of Paranoia, A Conspiracy Theory. I run in circles of a lot of different conspiracy theorists, and Jesse, what made you want to write this book?
Well, we all run in circles of a lot of conspiracy theorists because conspiracy theorists are everywhere. And I say that sounds like a conspiracy theory. But one of the main themes of the book is that political paranoia, and I don't mean paranoia as a clinical term, I just mean colloquially, has been this the potent force in American politics since the beginning, since the colonial days up to today, not just in, you know, the far left, the far right, those extremists, but in the heart of the political spectrum, right in the center, right in the establishment, you know, institutions of power. The conspiracy theories that people in the mass media and the government hold are not always called conspiracy theories. If they're widely embraced enough, they're thought of as just the way things are. But then often you look back a few decades later and it becomes clear that people were being paranoid. And in fact, if you're acute enough an observer, you can sometimes recognize an establishment conspiracy theory even when it's taking place.
Yeah, I think a lot of us do recognize those on an almost daily basis. I don't know if you get into this in the book or not, but what you really make me think of is like the satanic ritual scare of the 1980s. That was pushed off as a fact so long, and now we know that was just a bizarre conspiracy.
Well, not only that, but now people look back at it, and it seems, I mean, a lot of the sort of mainstream, quote-unquote, conspiracy theories I write about, you know, people say, well, yes, I mean, there was, you know, the Red Scare, or the Brown Scare, which was during the Franklin Roosevelt administration and was looking towards the far right instead of the far left. You say, yeah, we look back, they went overboard, but of course, you know, there were Nazi spies and communist spies, and it's not as though there wasn't a grain of truth. But the satanic ritual panic of the 80s and early 90s is just so strange. You can look at the materials now, the things that I mean, shows like 2020, which was, you know, a mainstream news show taken seriously. I mean, Hugh Downs is on it, doing these programs that don't interview a single skeptical voice, or if they do, they don't put them on the air, and making these claims about, you know, people disappearing and you know, the police haven't made the connection yet, but maybe they're being cremated and that's why we're not finding their bodies.
Yes.
You know, well, maybe another explanation would be that nobody was disappearing in the first place. This is a strangeness on the level of the Salem witch trials, and it is within living memory. I was alive when this happened. I remember seeing this material on TV.
Me too.
And nowadays, you know, people remember, well, yeah, folks went to jail that shouldn't have gone to jail. People went overboard in taking, you know, sketchy therapists seriously when they sort of allegedly recovered memories from kids. There were some injustices. Geraldo Rivera said some dumb things. They forget how much this permeated the society and how many upstanding citizens not only took this stuff seriously but helped propagate it.
Well, Jesse, I remember being a kid growing up in that time period, and I liked my heavy metal music, and so did all my friends, and we had, you know, the metal T-shirts and everything. Well, with that paranoia going around, all of a sudden we're being targeted by people as probably having some death cult out in the countryside and sacrificing babies.
Yeah, and if I wasn't a metalhead, you know, but I listened to punk rock, and of course the moral panic people couldn't distinguish the two. So they see, I remember someone seeing like the Circle A and saying, why do you have that satanic symbol up on your door? that doesn't really actually have anything to do with Satan. But yeah, it was a very strange time.
How does this happen? I mean, did you, through your research, find out how does a conspiracy theory suddenly become quote unquote fact?
Well, I mean, it's like, how does any theory become quote unquote fact? I mean, it's the same sort of process. And the fact that it involves a conspiracy is just sort of an odd. It means I can put it in my book, but it's the same sort of process of, you know, people who are presented as experts presenting their case, and you know, skeptical voices not necessarily being listened to, perhaps because people believe there's a crisis going on right at that moment. In the case of the ritual abuse panic, you know, the idea that children were in danger. In fact, actually, if you want me to talk specifically about the satanic panic, it sort of grew out of three panics that were already had been bubbling. There was the anti-cult agitation, which it's really gotten big in the 70s. You could actually find some roots of it in the 60s with the reaction to, you know, some of the stuff the hippies were into. But you had, you know, stuff like Jonestown and people having this notion that these sort of unusual small religions were brainwashing people and so on and were a threat. You had the sudden obsession with missing children. You might remember all those lost kids' faces on milk cartons, which was inspired by, you know, the Atlanta child killings from 1979 to 81, Eden Patz disappearing in 79, Adam Walsh being abducted and killed in 1981, and there were misleading statistics that got thrown around. You might have an estimate of the number of missing children that includes runaways, you know, kids taken by parents in custodial disputes. And in fact, the number of children abducted by strangers is much smaller, but then you run a news story that has the higher number of all the missing children, and then the anecdotal lead is about, you know, some horrible but rare event of someone being, you know, some six-year-old being kidnapped and killed. That gives this distorted picture that all these missing, there are missing children everywhere. And then you had this wave of charges of child molestation, which came at it. I mean, for a long time, this was a crime that was swept under the rug. There were good reasons to, you know, start paying more attention to it than before. But as a result, a lot of advocates were loath to disbelieve any allegations that came their way, even if there were obvious fantasy elements, even if they didn't emerge until, you know, some sketchy therapists did their recovered memory thing. And so you put all these things together, you know, the fear of cults, the fear around missing children, the fear of, you know, child molestation, which was tied up also with sort of anxieties about the rise of daycare centers, people not being so sure that, you know, they were doing right by their kids, having them looked after in this different context than the family. That creates a fertile territory for something like the Satanic Panic. And what happened when it did take off is that some notions that in the 1970s were limited to the fringe about, you know, satanic conspiracies, and I write about them in that fringe context in the 70s, burst forth, and suddenly Oprah and Sally Jesse Raphael and Geraldo and 2020 and so on are doing these shows that sometimes have some of the same figures that were just traveling the fringe circuit in the 1970s now appearing on national television and continuing to present themselves falsely as former Satanists and so on. I'm referring specifically to Mike Warnke, who wasn't exposed as a fraud until the early 90s.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. I've done some reading on him.
I'm running on at the mouth about this answer, but I say a lot about the 80s Satan Panic in the book because it's such an interesting episode.
It really is, and it's something that's always fascinated me. I remember watching it unfold, and I was, 13 at that time, and I'm sitting here thinking, this just doesn't seem right. This just seems like a whole lot of speculation. And, of course, there was some good money to be made off of that by the 2020s and the Geraldos and all of them. Well, we are talking with Jesse Walker. He is the books editor for Reason Magazine. And, Jesse, you know, I think what surprises me most is the fact that Alex Jones isn't the one who invented conspiracy theories, as so many might think today.
Yeah, I mean, they've been around a long time. There is this sort of historical amnesia that sets in. People hear an odd conspiracy story, and they say, wow, people have never believed this sort of thing before. And folks are surprised if you say that, you know, that Illuminati that keeps getting invoked in, you know, rap lyrics and people analyzing, you know, music videos for Illuminati symbolism. There was a big panic about the Illuminati in America at the end of the 1790s. There was a novel published in 1800 where, you know, an Illuminatus is the villain. These things have been around for a very long time, and not just have there been conspiracy theories for a long time, but a lot of the conspiracy narratives keep recurring again and again. I describe five sort of general categories or archetypal myths. And when I say myths, I don't mean they're never true. Obviously, there are real conspiracies out there, and I write about some of them in the book. But I mean that they're these sort of they're these sort of resonant stories that can absorb all kinds of allegations, true or not, and put them into a familiar form. And those five sort of categories or narratives that I write about are the enemy above, the enemy below, the enemy within, the enemy outside, and the benevolent conspiracy. And what happens is that you could have, for example, you could look at, for example, conspiracy stories that whites in the antebellum South told about their slaves, you know, the constant insurrection panics that set people into a tizzy because they thought slaves were conspiring to revolt and to overturn the social order. And then you can look at, for example, conspiracy theories about the riots of the 1960s, you know, in Watts and so forth. And you can see the same outlines. Sometimes it feels like they've just sort of moved the setting but changed the names, but kept the same basic story. And that's very, I mean, there's a real shock of recognition in reading some of these old stories from the 17th, 18th, 19th century that I cover in the book.
As I said up front, it really seems like I'm seeing the United States of paranoia, conspiracy theory everywhere these days. Were you surprised by the reaction that you've gotten from this book and just how well publicized it is at this point, Jesse?
Well, I mean, this is my second book, but it's the first with a big publisher. The first one was published by an academic press, and it came out a week before 9/11, and it did not get nearly as much attention. If I had written a book about, you know, Al-Qaeda right before 9/11, that would have been good timing. But writing about the history of pirate radio was you know, not the... So it's certainly different for me. I've been pleased at how positive the reaction has been. Mm-hmm. So far, I mean, all of the reviews, and there have been somewhere between a dozen and two dozen, have been positive. I mean, people have, you know, criticized me on particular points they don't agree with, but they've been positive. And the reader feedback I've gotten has been positive. The folks who really don't like the book, in my experience, are the ones who have not read it, but they understand that there's a book about conspiracy theories, and they're pretty sure what that book would say.
So I've seen
some comments online where people denouncing me for, you know, the exact opposite of the arguments they actually make.
So they're conspiracy theorizing about your conspiracy theory book, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I've been awaiting the actual, you know, theories about who's behind it to start emerging.
Jesse Walker is an inside job. I'm sure you're about to hear that one of these days.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse Walker, books editor, Reason Magazine, The United States of Paranoia, a Conspiracy Theory. Where can we find the book?
Better bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com, you know, your local bookseller that you want to support, all over the place.
Well, there he goes. That's Jesse Walker, books editor of Reason Magazine and the author of The United States of Paranoia, a Conspiracy Theory. Well, I want to thank all of you for dropping by the Fajita Funtime Radio Show once again. We usually do this thing every Thursday night, getting back on track. Again, I can't say enough just how much gratitude I have to all of you who gave so generously to our big money bomb, likely to become an annual tradition, but we're taken care of for another year, and I will not bug you for another dime. So as we wrap up this edition of the Fajita Funtime Radio Show, I can't say enough, brothers and sisters, get out there and spread liberty through laughter. Do it with a smile. And help your brothers and sisters along the way. Hey, if you've ever got a comment on the show, if you got an idea for the show, you can email us at fajitafuntime@gmail.com. And until next time, dear friends, we'll see ya.